Blog Talk Radio. everybody, and welcome to Hard Hits. I'm your host, Derek Felix, and it is the Hard Hits Network of shows here, an overnight show live for the next hour in Staten Island, New York City, representing Charlotte, NYC. Derek Felix, as we talk a little bit of sports, a little bit of sports podcast, as we do pretty much daily. So after all that chaos on Monday with Gary Sanchez, with the lack of hustle, the pass ball, let a runner go around second to third home to score, and him not hustling all the way down the line on a very, let's just say it should have been an infield hit and it should have been a tie ball game. What do the Yankees do? Do an MRI and they place him on the DL. So almost as if to take the pressure off. I mean, it's not going to change my mind. We saw the replays enough times of Sanchez just going very, very slowly until he realized he could actually get a hit, and then he tried to turn it up. Now, granted, he's not a fast guy, but he should have beat that out. It was pretty sad that he didn't. So they want to say that there's still something wrong with his groin. So be it. So he'll be on the DL, and he won't be missed. I won't miss him. And the Yankees didn't miss him tonight either. So as they were able to get a very good win tonight in Tampa Bay. And it really starts. It begins and ends with Masahiro Tanaka. Tanaka was just sensational. Goes all nine innings. Yes, you heard it right. He went the full nine. A complete game, three hit shutout. Only faced, I think, one over the minimum. He was just terrific. Seven strikeouts in the first four innings of no-hit ball. And improves to 8-2 and does a great job. Great job there. Exactly the kind of lift that the Yankees needed. They went 4-0. And how did they get their runs, you want to ask? By manufacturing them. That's right, folks. They did it. They played some small ball. Austin Romine, who was the starting catcher, obviously with Sanchez out. A RBI ground out fielder's choice. And also a sacrifice fly. And I'll tell you what else I liked. I even saw the Yankees being aggressive. There was a hit and run call by Aaron Boone that was successful, where he started the runner and Neil Walker was able to line a single, which put runners on the quarters. And that was when Brandon Drury, who has got to be the most jinxed player at this point, he got hit by a pitch on the left hand. I want to say it was on the backside, but they did not check him right away. I don't really understand why. They let him stay in the game. He did go first to third. And then they finally had sent the trainer out, and Boone came out, and they took him out of the ball game and pinch ran Tyler Wade. And Wade, obviously a good runner, still not a good hitter, but a good runner and a guy who could obviously play second and play good defense, took over. I guess my question would be, because you could see Drury was already swollen and was swelling up, why didn't they just remove him right away? That was the one thing that didn't make sense about this game. But outside of that, two more hits for the doubles king, Miguel Andujar, who scored two runs and continues to improve his Rookie of the Year candidacy, especially with Gleyber Torres missing time. He's going to be back for Wednesday's game. So that's obviously going to be a big boost. Neil Walker played first base and Bird was the DH, and Neil Walker had a rare good game with a multi-hit game and RBI as well. It's only his 22nd run knocked in, and he's hitting only 203. You have to think he'll be the odd guy out. But the good news on Drury, it was only a contusion, so that's positive news. The question is, if Gleyber is activated tomorrow, and the expectation is that he will be, well, which guy is going to be the odd guy out? Are they going to send back Tyler Wade, or are they going to finally say, you know, maybe it's time to cut Neil Walker loose and just be done with that? So, but a game that you had to feel good about. They played a solid game. They didn't, you know, really bash the ball, but they were able to get the runs in. And Austin Romine didn't get a hit, but he made two productive outs with the two RBIs. And that's what Austin Romine does. And he's up to 28 RBIs and has been a really solid backup. And Tanaka, he had great stuff, electronic stuff tonight. And it's his sixth complete game since he joined the Yankees. And no other Yankee has more than one complete game. I think he's got six, and I think the rest of the Yankees combined since he joined up have maybe two or three, maybe three total. So, and Tanaka on some extra rest. I mistakenly said it was going to be Sabathia. I was wrong. They wanted to give CC some extra time. And, you know, this is what Masahiro Tanaka is capable of. Tanaka is very capable of pitching this kind of game. And that's why, you know, it makes sense. It made sense, even though I'm not crazy about it. But it did make sense that they went out and got Zach Britton, the Orioles closer, the very tough lefty out of that pen. Could also close games late, but he won't have to because we got Chapman, and he can pitch eighth inning with Betances and Robert. You have Robertson, you have Chad Green. I mean, there are so many guys that they have that they count on out of that bullpen. Boy, oh boy, they're really looking to shorten up the game. And Britton's pitched well after coming back from injury. I think it was maybe eight straight outings where he had a lot of run. And the Yankees didn't part with any guys they didn't part with, you know, a stud prospect. That's what I'm trying to say. But they put together a nice package. They were able to send Dylan Tate was scratched from his outing tonight. And he's the ninth best prospect in the Yankee system. And so, the starting pitcher. And so, he is a guy that could wind up being a guy that is part of the Orioles rotation in the future. He's a double A pitcher so far this year. 82 and two-thirds, 67 hits, 7 home runs allowed, 25 walks, 75 strikeouts. So he's pitched solidly. He's pitched very solid. He pitched well last year as well. So he was a nice comeback story last year, going 6-0 with Tampa, high A Tampa, and the 2-6-2, and then eventually getting elevated to Trenton. And this is after he had some injuries, some setbacks. And now Dylan Tate is a member of the Orioles. Josh Rogers was also part of that trade. There were three players in this deal. And the good news is that, you know, you're not going to see any of these guys. And they were able to get themselves a good, as long as he's healthy, a very effective lefty that's very tough to hit. And that probably means the end of Chase and Shreve. Shreve actually came out of the pen and had to take over for an ineffective Chapman on Saturday and bailed the Yankees out with a save one inning, and they were getting a double play and getting ground out. But adding a quality guy like Zach Britton to an already very strong bullpen that also has Jonathan Holder and he knows how to hold them right now ever since he's returned. Boy, oh boy, this has the makings of just a pen that can really shorten up games, especially if Sabathia can only give you five innings or six, you know, pitch into the sixth inning, and you could just basically Boone could just mix and match. Don't forget about Adam Warren. He's a little lower on the food chain, but he's still an effect pitcher as well. So, I mean, you have to give Cashman a lot of credit here. But there aren't any starters worth a damn. I know that they're still supposedly looking into adding a starter. I wouldn't, personally. I wouldn't do it because I just don't believe that there's anyone worth a damn of adding. So, why not just stick with what you have? Yeah, I mean, it's not great, but I'm sure Severino will get it turned around. I'm a big believer in him, and I'm sure they'll figure it out, and he's tough, and he's accountable, and he'll turn it around, and that's your ace. And then you have CeCe, who continues to pitch well, and if Tanaka can give you more of these outings, and you know that he's capable. I'm not saying he's going to go out there and pitch 8-9 innings every time out, but I mean, he's good enough to pitch 6, and sometimes even pitch to the 7th. Then all of a sudden, you know, maybe that weakness isn't such a weakness. Now, Sonny Gray is a 4th starter. There's talk that they might even trade him. The Brewers supposedly had interest. I don't know how true that really is. I probably would just hang on to him. Whatever they're going to do, they're going to trade Sonny Gray, and then they're going to have 2 questionable, like, back of the rotation starters. I don't know how much sense that makes. I mean, they already sent Domingo Germán back down after another awful outing and became Domingo Germán, and needs to get back to work in Scranton. So, in Wilkes-Barre, Scranton. So, I like the deal. And I'm not saying that I was crazy about making this move, but I understand it. I can rationalize what they're trying to do. We're basically saying, you know what? All right, so the starter market isn't good. It isn't. So why don't we just go and get ourselves another guy that come out of that bullpen that can do the job, and we could just shorten up the game. So maybe take a little bit of that strategy that was part of the 96 Yankees that the Royals used to perfection in 2015. And, hey, even the Indians, for the most part, almost pulled it off in that World Series in 2016, that playoff with Andrew Miller and with the other guys that they had, of course, Cody Allen and the former Indian that's pitched very poorly for the Rockies. They have better starters. Let's be honest about it. Brennan's an impressive pitcher. He's had a really good career. Obviously, he'll be a free agent after the year. He makes $12 million. He's 30 years old, and he's obviously, his health has not been great the past couple of years, but this is a guy that's a proven commodity, led the AL in saves in 2016 with 47, when he was dominant with 67 innings and 74 strikeouts and 18 walks. And he pitched to a .54 ERA. He could have even, then he got some, I think he got some Cy Young votes that year. He finished 4th. And he's been a 2-time All-Star, and he's obviously been a proven performer. This year, you know, he missed a lot of time. He's gotten 16 games, the 1-0 with the .345 ERA, 15 2/3, 11 hits, 4 saves, 6 earned runs, a home run, 10 walks, 13 strikeouts. So, not as dominant, and that's not a surprise. You know, when you come back from the kind of injuries that he came back from, yeah, it's going to take some time. So, but this is a very proven pitcher, a guy that can get batters out, and really be tough on hitters with his pitching style. So I think this was a really great night for the Yankees. They needed, but most importantly, needed to get back in the win column. And I just give all the credit to Tanaka and the game that he pitched. And I like the way Boone managed this game too, being aggressive and starting the runner a couple of times, stay out of double plays with that hit and run that was successful, and stay avoiding a double play with Romine and producing a run that way, and Romine, you know, on a 3-2 count, getting the sac fly into the medium deep right, scoring a big insurance run, and they did what they had to do. They did exactly what they needed to do. It was a nice bounce back win. It was clean, solid defensively, great pitching, and productive outs. You know, you can't always bash the ball. You can't always rely on bashing the ball. That doesn't always work. So I like when the Yankees are able to actually manufacture runs, and I like to see them do more of it. And yeah, I understand, obviously, Boone tried to do a little bit of that in that ninth inning on Monday, where he had Didi lay down a bunt, which got the runners over, but you knew that Kevin Cash was not going to pitch to Carl Stanton, who was already 4-for-4, so he took the bat out of his hands, and it was a mistake. It was a mistake. I mean, Hicks made a loud out, and obviously the whole fiasco of Gary Sanchez. And what we're going to do is we're just going to erase that for now. We're not going to talk about Gary Sanchez. Whatever is wrong with him, well, he's on the DL, so hopefully it's not just to cover up everything. It looks like it, but I'm not gonna go there with this. No, it's a good win. It's a good win for the New York Yankees. It puts them back to 29 games over 500, and the Boston Red Sox actually lost the game, and that doesn't happen. So, I mean, the Red Sox lost to the Orioles, or now Zach Britton's former team, so the former ball club right there. Just a little more on this trade. I told you about Dylan Tate. Josh Rogers. Josh Rogers is a lefty in AAA. He was a AAA Scranton. He doesn't project as high as Dylan Tate does, at least if Dylan Tate could stay healthy. So, but Josh Rogers had a nice season for Scranton, for Wilkes-Barre Scranton. And Cody Carroll is the other guy, number 15 rated prospect. So what I will do is I will just get some information out. I already mentioned Dylan Tate, the 24-year-old, has pitched well. I'll try to get some information. I want to get some information. And Justin Sheffield sent out a tweet. Gonna miss my boys. Bittersweet moment happy for you fellas. We definitely made some good memories. See you all on the show. Tweeting out at Josh Rogers and at Tate as well as former teammates. So what I'll try to do is try to get some info on Cody Carroll right now. And then we'll continue to talk, because there was an unbelievable ball game that was played in Philadelphia again. But this one was even better. This one was even better than the game that the Dodgers held on to win on Monday. This they really turned it up a couple of notches, that the Dodgers and the Phillies tonight. They really worked extra time. So, and I think you know what that means. They worked hard for it. that's what we'll say. I mean, and any time, you know, you go that deep, whoever comes out on top, they're going to be very happy. Whoever loses, though, they're going to be pretty upset and pretty miserable. So, this would make for an interesting final game of what's been an interesting series, you know, a possible playoff preview. Philly's obviously battling for that NL East, and I think with their victory, they did win the game, so. And the Braves losing, so I think they are back to being tied for the time being with the Atlanta Braves. I don't know if they have, I don't think they have identical records, but yeah, they're tied. So that's a great, that's a very good race to follow. Is it? So, we're following it and it's fun. And I'm not sure. I'm almost ready to write the Nats off, but you know, I don't think either of the Phillies or the Braves are going to run away with it. So that's the whole thing. I don't see either team running away, like the real McCoy song that I like so much, "Run Away." Run away, run away, run away and save your life. Well, neither team's going to run away, but or break free. But I definitely think it's going to be a really good race to watch down the stretch. And exciting, very exciting as well. So we shall see how things go. If it go, and obviously, I would like to see, I like to see either one of those teams win that division. I don't want to see the Nats at this point. I'm tired of the Nats. I'm tired of their underachieving ways. I'm just tired of them, sick of them. All right, just go home. All right, go home, you bunch of underachievers. Yeah. Maybe they could fire another manager while they're at it. They don't have Dusty Baker around anymore, so they can't kick him around anymore. Poor Dusty. I mean, really. Yeah, who are they going to blame this time for the fact that they're, like, the most underachieving team in baseball? And I'm not even going to look at Bryce Harper. I'll cut him some slack because his lineup hasn't exactly protected him the best. But it's time to stop blaming managers. And I'm looking at you, Steve, in Strasburg, who makes all that money and then was awful on his birthday, Leo's return on his birthday, and gets into an argument with Max Scherzer, of all people, Max Scherzer, who knows how to friggin' pitch and he's been the best pitcher in baseball for the past 3 years. Although Jacob DeGrom is maybe going to have something to say about that, even though he's a meh. So, but let's be honest. I mean, really. I mean, if you're bad, yeah, you should be frustrated. You should be. But if that guy gives you a pat on the back, I mean, what the hell are you? What are you yelling at the guy for? I mean, he wasn't doing anything that was wrong there. Giving him some encouragement after a bad outing. I know it was his birthday, and it wasn't obviously the birthday present he had in mind. But, I mean, come on. Come on. Oh, I mean, let's chill out. And, yeah, of course you want to be competitive, and you want to pitch better than that. It obviously was a very bad outing for him. But what are you going to do? That's the kind of year it's been for the Washington Nationals. Cody Carroll, so all three of these guys are pitchers. Cody Carroll was pitching for Wilkes-Barre and Scranton. He is 24. So they're all, every one of these, actually, no, he's 25. So you have two 24-year-olds and one 25-year-old. Carroll was rated 15th in the Yankee system, while Dylan Tate was rated. He was pitching to a 2.38 ERA and 3-0, and he looks like more of a reliever. He is a 6'5" righty. Why don't we look at? He's 3-0. Let's look at the appeal. I told you how he's appeared in a lot of games. He's not a starter. The other two guys are starters. Let's look at the innings. So this year he's 41 2/3. And last year, by the way, he pitched to a 2.66 ERA. We have Trenton, 2-5 record, a little bit of hard luck there, 2.25 with Tampa, so 2.54. So it looks like he's been a pretty solid reliever. So 41 2/3, 9 saves. So he can pitch late in games. 41 and two-thirds this year. 27 hits allowed. Let's look at the runs. Runs allowed. Allowed only 13 runs this year. When he earned, 11 earned. How about we look at the hits are 27. How about the walks? How's those walks? 18 walks, that's not great. It's not a great ratio in 41 and two-thirds. And the strikeouts, 55. And, yeah, he could strike out guys. So he is 6'5", 215. He throws, he's a righty. So that is Cody Carroll. And Josh Rogers is the other guy that was in this trade. I mentioned that he was also a starter. And I believe he's a lefty. So let's talk about Josh Rogers really quick. The lefty, 6'3", 220, a former 11th-round pick in 2015, and a starting pitcher from New Albany High School and played for University of Louisville from Indiana. So he's been on the minors. This is his fourth pro season, his third full pro season. He actually spent a little time with Staten Island getting into three games back in 2015 after college, but logged a lot of innings in 2016, winning 12 games. He combined 12 and 6 in low and middle A and high A at the age of 21 with a 2.38 ERA and 136 innings, 115 strikeouts, great control, 22 walks only. Now, obviously, he's not rated as high for some reason. I'm not really sure why. Well, he hasn't pitched as well the last couple of years. That's probably why, because he's advanced. I mean, he was a good, really effective pitcher in A ball and moved to double A. Had a little bit of struggle there in trying 4-2 with the 4.62 ERA, 35 hits. 29 strikeouts, 8 walks. He has good control. With Scranton this year, 6-8 with a 3.95 ERA in 19 starts. Every game has been a start. Well, complete game shutout. 109 innings, 118 hits. So he's given up a lot of hits this year, 13 home runs. So the home runs are a lot. They're up. 29 walks, 83 strikeouts. So that's his story. So these are the three guys they gave up. They did not give up Florio. So that's a real positive. And I don't think you should have to give up a Florio to get a rental like a Zach Britton, who, has been totally healthy the past couple of years. I'm sure the Royals would have loved to have had Esteban Florio. Considered the Yankees' top prospect right now, center field prospect, could be the next big center fielder for them. Aaron Hicks is holding down center field for now. And Aaron Hicks has done a nice job with the 16 home runs. But, not hitting for much of an average. But, he maintains the pace. He could be looking at maybe 26, 27 home runs out of and he plays an excellent center field. So you can't take any credit. You can't take anything away from him. Florio this year has not played a lot, obviously. So he's playing for the Gulf League right now. Yankees West, Yankees East. So hasn't really gotten into a lot of games so far. He's only 20 years old, so he's played in some A ball. He's played a little bit for Tampa. He is with Tampa now. So how's he doing with Tampa? A home run, 12 RBI, 6 steals, 235. Striking out a lot, obviously. It's still fairly new, obviously, to him. So, and he did play for Charleston last year and played well enough to advance. He has five tools. He can hit for some power. He's got speed. He's supposed to be the real deal. And I know the Yankees really wanted to hang on to him, and they have. So that's the good news. And I guess the question really becomes, Well, let's say they can't add anybody else, and so they don't get just average Hap or whoever else is out there. I don't know what else the availability is, or even talk about Chris Archer. I don't really see the Yankees doing that, because they'd have to part with someone better. And I don't know. I'm not so crazy about Chris Archer pitching at Yankee Stadium. Especially, I know he's better than Gray because he can strike out more batters. He had 13 strikeouts in his last outing. But I don't know. Something about righties at Yankee Stadium. I know Archer has a tendency to give up home runs. I don't know how good a fit that would be. So what could they do? That's a good question. It's a really good question to ask when it comes to what they decide to do with the fifth starter slot. Yeah, I mean, you could do it by committee. You could pull up Tampa Bay. They could do that. I mean, why not? They certainly have enough depth now. It doesn't have to be conventional. But of course, you'd like to have a guy that can pitch at least 5 innings out of that slot. But I'm not sure they do. So, you know, we'll see. With Sanchez going back on the DL, Kyle Higashioka is back. He was a spark plug with a couple of home runs, 2-3 home runs that he hit. And he proved that the Yankees have some nice depth there. It's a right groin strain for Sanchez. That's what they said. Maybe Domingo Acevedo gets another chance at it. But he's back with Trent right now. They did recall Giovanni Gallegos. He's been out before. I don't really know, you know, what the deal is with him. I mean, we know that the Yankees, they move guys up and down. So, you know, it's just whether or not they feel. They do it by feel. That's what they do it by. It seems like they just do it by instinct more. You know, that's what I've noticed with the New York Yankees this year. It's too bad about Ronald Torres. I really would like to see him. Again, he's got a family issue. He remains down in the minors in Scranton. I would love to see him back. He's such a nice role player. It's really a shame. You know, he had such a nice role with this team, and it's just disappointing, obviously. I miss the guy. I mean, the guy could hit. He had a little bit of speed. He's just that perfect bench guy, a perfect guy who could play utility and fill in and he could pinch hit. And I just don't understand the fascination for Neil Walker. I know Neil Walker is a guy that has a little more pop at his bat. I know Neil was a solid New York Met, but it just isn't working out with the New York Yankees in this role. And I think it's time. It's time. You know, it's time to say, to bid adieu and to move on. Just like, and I know Clint Frazier's kind of blocked or whatever, but I'd really like to see Clint Frazier back up with this ball club. I mean, I would, but obviously he had another setback and he's on the DL with a concussion. So I don't know when you'll see him again. Hopefully he'll be back by late August. You know, the minor league season will be wrapping up then. So we'll see. Depending if Wilkes-Barre Scranton makes the playoffs. Obviously, he's proven he can hit triple in AAA. I like to see him back. But it's not my call. It's not my call. So I'm not gonna go crazy over it. But that's the story with the New York Yankees as they actually gain a game and are 5 behind the Boston Red Sox, who actually lose a Mookie Betts who hit his 24th home run, actually made the final out, grounded into a double play. It must have been hit pretty hard because it's pretty hard to double up Mookie Betts, as we know. MVP Betts in that great race right there with Jose Ramirez from the Indians with 30 home runs. And, of course, Mr. Trout from the Halos, who are once again not going to make the playoffs, and the Oakland Athletics continuing their unbelievable push. They were down 10-2 against Texas. We know how bad Texas is. They gave up the next 11 runs. The A's scored 11 unanswered runs by the Oakland A's, including a go-ahead blast by Chris Crush Davis in that, I think it was the top of the ninth inning, and the A's win 13-10. The Mariners lost again, and guess what? Oakland is only a game and a half behind for that second wild card. They have done an unbelievable job. You know, when I said that I thought they would be better and competitive, I really believed it. I just didn't know. I didn't know if they would be this good. But they are. They're for real. And I knew the lineup would be good. I knew that lineup would be good. Jed Lowry, he continues to be a productive, you know, player. And you have, obviously, Chris Davis, and you have Matt Chapman. This is a very good lineup. So, and they continue to get it done. And they deserve a lot of credit. They really do. They have been an excellent story. You got Marcus Semien. He hasn't really done that much either. Yeah, it's really been the other guys. I mean, this is a team that is worth following, and they're coming. Look how quick they've closed. They won like 22 out of 26 or 23 out of 27. They've been unbelievable. Have the Oakland Athletics, and to come back the way they did, the Giants obviously beating the Mariners, who are falling to 60-41. The Giants were able to push a run across in that ninth inning. The A's getting a couple of big walk-off wins against those Giants in the Bay Series, where they honored the 1989 Oakland Athletics. A little odd that they didn't wait until next year for the 30-year anniversary, but they rolled out Ricky Henderson in that bullpen card, and they had the stolen base king and probably the greatest Oakland Athletic when you think about what Rick Hansen did for them. What he had, like 130 stolen bases, the greatest leadoff man ever. And they rolled out Eckersley as well, Dennis Eckersley, one of the great closers, obviously. And I still haven't seen that Dodgers special. I want to see it. Actually, so the A's won 10 innings. This is what this game was, okay? They scored the first two runs. They got one in the third, one in the fourth. Texas got two in the fifth. They got six in the sixth. They led 8-2. Then the A's, they came back. Texas got two in the first. Oakland came back with a run in the third and a run in the fourth, so it was 2-2. Then eight unanswered for Texas, and they led 10-2. Oakland pushes three across in the seventh, four in the eighth, one in the ninth, and a three-run home run by Chris Davis. And guess who came out of the bullpen and got the W? That Oakland Athletic, Jerry Sevilla, who gets a sixth win, and Blake Treinen comes out from the bullpen for his 25th save, and the Oakland Athletics improved to 59-43, and they continue to make their push towards playoff spot. They're just unbelievable. I mean, when I saw it was Tetsu, I was like, they're coming. Here they come again. I mean, they're coming. Matt Chapman also, the other guy. You know, very quietly, Mark Canha, I remember him. He's been kind of like, he became like the forgotten guy there. But he's back. He's now the starting center fielder, and he's got 13 home runs. He's had power before, but he's never really put it all together. Don't forget about Stephen Piscotty coming back. Obviously, losing, I think he lost his dad or his mom hit that home run, and he's put together a good season. How about Jed Lowry, though? The 17 home runs. 17 home runs, 65 RBIs. He wasn't an all-star, but he could have been. Chris Davis has 72 RBIs, and Chris Davis every year is productive. Marcus Semien, I talked about him. He hasn't really been great. But tonight, a big three-run hit. I think he got a three-run double, looks like, according to this. And three RBIs for him. Piscotty for his 14th home run. That was the tire against Kayla. Kayla is a nice relief pitcher for Texas that's drawn some interest. So he could be on the move. All right, so keep an eye on that. Joey Gallo, he's still hitting under the Mendoza line. He hit his 25th home run. Elvis Andrus actually hit a grand slam in this game. And he's not known for his power, but I'll tell you, if Joey Gallo hit for any kind of average, can you imagine what kind of player he could be? He could be dominant. Absolutely dominant. Chris Davis, by the way, 25 home runs. I mean, he crushes the ball. He's not going to hit for much of an average, but I'll tell you what he'll do. He will hit 35 to 40 bombs. He'll knock at 110, and he'll be the most productive A. He'll lead them in the home runs. He'll lead them in the RBIs. And he'll do the job. And that's Crush Davis, who they got from the Brewers. And the Brewers are still waiting on the catcher, the big top prospect catcher that they got in that trade. So, and he's supposed to be really good, but I'll tell you what. you look at how things are set up. You have to say that's worked out pretty good. It's worked out pretty well for the A's so far. And, maybe JPG does have a point. Prospects are prospects. So, I mean, not every prospect is going to be great right away. And maybe that is the point, is that not every prospect will turn pan out. So what I'm trying to say is if you have the depth of which the Yankees had and they replenished their system, then you can go out and you can get a Zach Britton. Not have to give up the Clint Frazier, not have to give up the Florio, and still hanging on to the other relief pitcher that you're hoping will. No, the other starting prospect that you hope will turn it around. Talking about Chance Adams, who hasn't done much this year after a really breakout year last year. So hopefully he can turn it around and figure it out because he's in Scranton for a second straight year, thought of, and he hasn't pitched well at all. So I mean, this has basically been a Yankee show, a lot of baseball. And this all changed because of the trade. It did change a little bit. But I want to mention this Phillies-Dodgers game. And, God, if tomorrow's game is anything like the first two, boy, that should be awesome. Possible playoff preview. These two teams, nothing separated them. You know, about the Dodgers winning 7-6 on Monday. With Mikel Franco leaving the ballpark, closers in the game, and Kenley Jansen, but Jansen getting the strikeout to end that one. Tonight, it went 16 innings. It was still on MLB Network, which is why I pushed back the show, because I wanted to see how it ends. Plus, I got to watch Groundhog Day, which is one of my favorites. I was watching it with JNF. So there was nothing separated the teams. It was just one of those games where nobody could score. There was no scoring. The Phillies got their three runs to tie the game in the seventh. And, usually when you have a game like that, it's usually going to come down to somebody hitting a home run. That's how it played out. And the Dodgers, they ran out of arms, or at least Dave Roberts decided, you know what, I don't want to use any more guys out of our bullpen. I want to preserve. So what did he do? Well, I'm sorry, Anthony Rizzo come out of the pen for the Cubs to get one out. He went to Kiki Hernandez to Dave Roberts, the nice utility player who's had a nice year. He's got double-digit home runs, and he's always been a little underrated. He doesn't hit for the average that I thought he could hit for. So he came out, and he tried to throw his stuff in the bottom of the 16th, and it didn't work out. It didn't work out at all. I thought it was Trevor Plouffe. It was actually, it was Trevor Plouffe. Trevor Plouffe, who went yard and won the game with an opposite field blast. The forgotten Trevor Plouffe, who used to play for the Twins, and played some third base, and now is just a guy who comes off the bench for the Phillies. Trevor Plouffe called Kiki Hernandez, called David Roberts, moved Kiki Hernandez bluff. And he wins it with the opposite field blast. And the Phillies walk off. And it was his first home run, by the way, Plouffe. A guy who used to hit double digits home runs for the Twins, and now he's just a bench guy. Three home runs in this game for the Phils. Nick Williams with his 12. Remember, he was in the Alfaro also went yard. He's got a lot of power as a catcher. So both those guys came in the Cole Hamels trade. I'd say that's starting to turn around. Then it's you. And that was, I knew that they got good prospects back in that trade, and I tried to tell the other guys. But it's starting to turn around, especially with Hamels looking like he's almost at the end of the line. Maybe he just needs to be on a different roster. But the Phillies were able to get the rally in that seventh inning, and they were able to tie up the game. And they were able to even up the series at a game apiece. Nola started this game and went 5 innings, 5 strikeouts. And Phillies had – their bullpen was masterful. They used 8 relievers. 8 relievers. Only Morgan gave up a run. They shut down the Dodgers for the last 1, 3, 4, 5, 7, 9. The last 10 innings, they shut down the Dodgers completely. And here's the crazy part. They struck out 11 batters. They struck out 11 in those 10 innings, giving up. I've had a couple of runners on it in a couple of those innings, but Velasquez actually got the win and came out to pitch and got the win. So a lot of pitchers used. So 9 pitchers for the Phillies. The Dodgers, how many pitchers they used? Nita went 7 innings. 7 strikeouts. How many did the Dodgers use? Well, let's look at the relievers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So they also used 8 relievers, and they used 8. So there were 18 total pitchers in this game, 9 for each side, a starter and 8 relievers. Hernandez, though, he took the loss. He walked 2. He did retire a batter, and then he gave up the opposite out left. So he up an 81 ERA, his first ever appearance in the majors as a reliever. It didn't work out for him. So that's where you go there. Grandal hit a home run from both sides of the plate. He's hot. He's red hot right now. Number 17 and 18. And after he had 15 and 16. That's right. He was up to 14. So, and he's a very productive catcher that we don't talk about, but he is. He's this guy that can and really hit. So, and Peterson also had 4 hits in the game. The Phillies are 56-44, and by virtue of the Braves, who lost, they actually had a pretty bad game yesterday. I believe that they're tied right now. Yeah, actually, you know what? The Phillies actually lead. They actually lead the division. They are a game up. They're 56-44. The Braves, so they were tied entering, and the Braves fell to 54-44, losing 9-3 to Herron. Very inconsistent starter. And he's been a very frustrating pitcher for a long time. 9-3, they lose. So it's the Phillies by a game. He played two more games. The Red Sox actually rallied. They made it 7-6. So hit into the game-ending double play. And Brock picked up the save. So the Red Sox rally actually falls just short. Not much else really to talk about. The Pirates continue to win and won 11 in a row. They're 53-49. They've passed the Cardinals, who won 4-2 against the Reds. They had a never-no hitter broken up late, and Suarez hit a double home run. The Brewers are 50-45 by pulling out a 10-inning win against the underachieving Nationals, or should we say Crashinals, like Steve Summers likes to say, to borrow the phrase. If the Pirates keep winning games, come very interesting. Yeah, it's basically the Cubs division. They're 58-42. They lost again to those D-backs, who are a very odd team. I don't think they're that good. Buckles has pitched very well. Clay Buckles, remember him? Yeah, he's pitched well for them. That's really going to do it for this live portion of the show. I was going to do some basketball, but I think maybe I'll just save it for tomorrow. Maybe I'll do a podcast on another time later today. It's late anyway. So maybe what we'll do is we'll save it. I'm going to talk about Dwight Howard, the fact that he's now a Washington Wizard and the funny guy. We could talk about him. We could talk about Carmelo Anthony, who, if he gets shed that loser label, and he's a rocket. And Starbird Marbury will continue to set a real good example since he retired in China. And maybe we'll just another day. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow in a separate podcast. And I think I'm just going to end the show. So it was a good night for the Yankees. Zach Britton will join them. And we'll see how that goes. That's going to do it for the show. So we'll end it and I'll sleep. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure you tune into any podcast in the future. And see you all next time on this podcast. Have a good night, everybody. Good night.